Excuse me, may I talk to you for a second?
Yes. This is the Black Real Estate Dialogue. And the purpose of the Black Real Estate Dialogue is to document the journey of an up-and-coming real estate investor and to share the stories of successful Black real estate investors.
Yes, sir. Welcome back to the Black Real Estate Dialogue. And today's episode features a hot take from episode 102 with Tariq McAllister. And in this short clip, Tariq is going to talk about the power of buying houses cash. He has a dope story. And in this clip, we hope that you're able to pull away the nuggets that he drops. So let's get into it.
One thing you mentioned is buying that house in cash. Maybe this is a little controversial, but I'm going to just ask you, what are your thoughts on buying house cash? Because there seems to be two opinions, right? Some people say, I'm only buying my houses cash. I'm not taking no debt. While others say, why wouldn't you take the debt? Why wouldn't you take the leverage? So what are your thoughts on that?
So I think that people are only qualified to give advice on things that they've experienced. I have a rule of thumb where I only talk about things that I personally experienced and educate on things that I personally experienced as it pertains to real estate, because this is a very hands-on business. So in regards to buying properties cash versus using leveraging, I literally bought my first 5 properties cash. And it was a snail walk. After I learned how not to do that, I was like beating myself up about buying properties cash those first few years, bro. So my perspective now is start how you know, right? You know, sometimes you got to start where you are. You know, if your mindset and your strategy is not quite there to be able to buy using leverage because of whatever reason, maybe you haven't invested in your education, maybe you haven't met the right mentor to guide you along that process, because that was a part of why I didn't start, right? A lot of people were telling me, family members include, like specifically, like, don't get any mortgages. You want to buy the properties cash. You don't want to owe anybody, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm indoctrinating that. They're indoctrinating that into me and my strategy without even knowing it, right? So I'm doing that, right? And then I started meeting other people and learning different strategies that debunked that strategy, and it made complete sense. However, if you are one of those type of people that aren't there yet, I would rather you start with cash than not start at all, because the price is not going down, especially in a lot of these different markets, specifically my market in Philly. Like, nah, it's not going down, you know. So the longer you wait, the more it's going to cost you. So if buying it cash is how you're going to get it right now, go ahead and do it. But I'm always going to encourage people and recommend you get some education behind it as well, so you can learn some different strategies and understand that there is 1,000 ways to do it. Like now, you know, as I mentioned, over 70 doors, and we're in the process of inking a deal that's going to push us over 100 total doors, hopefully over the next couple of days to end this 2021 out. Like, I've either spent little to no money out of pocket, and I'm not talking about wholesaling, to acquire the doors that I now currently have. And that is all a tribute to leverage and learning and embracing new strategies.
Definitely. So you mentioned that your first couple of properties you purchased cash. Were you just working and grinding and saving up and saving up income from different sources to come up with those, to come up with the cash for those properties?
Right. So the first one, yes, that was a strategy. Like I bought the first property cash, $23,000. The second, third, fourth, fifth came from me actually using wholesaling. So I was learning the wholesale strategy model, and I actually got into wholesaling by accident. Another one of my dad's advices, you know, without a bunch of details, he said, I'm like, man, I can't find any houses. He's like, man, you don't see all these abandoned houses around here? Why don't you just look up the phone numbers and call the people that hold them and see if they want to sell it, right? I'm like, all right, okay. So I go online and stuff, and like in Philly's Philly.gov website, go on there and you could put in an address and you can find out the known address and name of the person that owns the property. And sometimes they'll have a mailing address that's different than the actual subject property. So I'm looking up the properties, man. I get like 15, 20 addresses in the area that I'm liking, that I already bought the first one in. And I sit down one night and I write 20 letters handwritten. Hey, my name is Tyreek McAllister. I want to buy your house. Here's my phone number. I sent it out. Like, you couldn't tell me I wasn't doing anything. I send those letters out. I got zero phone calls. Zero phone calls. Of course, anybody that knows wholesaling, like 20 letters ain't going to get it for you. And it's funny, I ended up finding another property, I think probably like just through Zillow, for sale by owner. And then someone actually called me from one of the letters. Hey, I got your letter. Yeah, I'm interested in selling. And I'm like, oh yeah, no, I'm cool. I already bought one. Click. And that was like my introduction to wholesaling, because I told somebody that story. And it was like, yo, what are you doing? You could have put it under contract. You could have flipped it. You could have did this. I'm like, wait, what? Wait, you can make money without buying the property? You can do what? You can assign it. So then I actually started being intentional about wholesaling, both from a deal flow standpoint and from a cash flow standpoint, for me to be able to buy my next property. So basically what I would do is I had a formula where I would try to get maybe 3 to 5 properties under contract. The intent would be to figure out which ones I wanted most. So if I had 5 properties under contract and 2 of them I really wanted, my objective was to try to close those 3 deals out, and hopefully that the assignment fee would be enough to buy the other properties. And that worked out pretty well for me to be able to acquire over 5 properties in a short period of time using the wholesale fees.
That's genius. I don't think I've heard that strategy before. So you mentioned you just try to get a couple properties under contract and try to calculate it in a way where the assignment fee for one of them would pay for the other two. What was it like trying to balance all that? Like, were the closing times, and like, did you structure the contracts in a way where you'd be able to do it? You'd hopefully be able to execute that?
Yeah, for sure. We try to, of course, you know, the name of the game in wholesaling is to get it sold as quickly as possible. So understanding that, I knew that I had to have buyers lined up. So a lot of people, when they're wholesaling, they're buying, they're putting properties under contract that people won't even potentially want, you know? And I think that's where a lot of people go wrong with it. What I was doing is, before I was finding properties, I was finding buyers for those properties. The way I was doing that is another strategy that I learned just through the grapevine and investing in education was a dummy listing, is what we used to call it, right? So the dummy listing was where I literally, so my family at the time, we probably had like 3 different properties, like my mom's house, my grandfather's house, and like an investment property that we had. And then I also had my personal properties that I already bought. So I literally would create listings on like Craigslist and Zillow, advertising that property was for sale. And what would happen is that I would get phone calls all day long. And the way I would price it like low. Like, so I know the property's worth $80,000. I'll be like, yeah, it's for sale for $50 right now. Like, cash offer only, blah, blah, blah. Phone is going crazy. What I'm doing is I'm capturing emails and phone numbers of people who were ready to cash out. So when I actually had deals, I'd already had these people numbers. Mm-hmm. I'm answering the phone. Hey, no, that property is not for sale anymore. And I only recommend you do this with a property that you have some sort of interest in, a family member's house or something like that, or somebody. Don't go up there putting properties up for sale that you don't own. But it worked like a charm for me, because then what happened would be I would be on the phone like, hey, no, this one's not available. But when I do get some more available like that one sold fast, I'll be sure to call you. What areas are you looking in exactly? Okay, I'm looking in the 19121 zip code. I'm looking for single families in the 19132 zip code. And I'm taking notes. So now when I'm getting actual deals under contract, these things is like sold before the ink even dries, you know? So, I always also tell my students, mentees, and anybody I talk to about real estate, understanding your numbers is going to put you in a position to be an expert in your industry, whether you are an investor, a wholesaler, or anything in between. So when I'm presenting the deals to the end buyers, when I was wholesaling, I'm presenting the deal to them to make it make sense as if I was buying it. So my numbers were so tight, it was only a matter of if you want the deal or not. It wasn't a much of a haggle. It was like, hey, look, this property is for this. And you know the numbers work. I ran the numbers. It makes sense. The cash flow is there. The construction budget, give or take about this. Market rate, you can do it for this. I'm sure you can do it cheaper, though. Hey, let me know. I got five other people I need to call.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Black Real Estate Dialogue Podcast. Remember to follow us on Instagram at Black Real Estate Dialogue and on Twitter at Bread Podcast. That's B-R-E-D Podcast. Until next time.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.